the President of the United States.
We have allowed so many weasels to be elected.
So wherever and whenever I can take steps without legislation, that's what I'm going to do.
Those weasels who deny American exceptionalism.
I believe in American exceptionalism.
Those weasels who are saying to our children in their schools that we need to conform, that we need to bow down to those foreign interests. They're saying to you and I that America is no longer the great shining light upon the hill. Let us send this message. No, 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 we will not bow down. We will not conform, and we will not go away.
Now on KLZ, Freedom 560, with your host, Ken Clark.
Well, it seems like summer is finally here. That is a good thing. I hope everybody had the opportunity to go out and have a terrific Father's Day yesterday. I know that there was a lot of things going on, and hopefully everybody got to go out and spend time with their dads or their kids. And, you know, just had a great family day. I wasn't able to spend time with my dad, but I just wanted to wish him a happy Father's Day. He's out in South Carolina, so I know that my brother and his family were able to take him out to dinner and do the barbecue thing, or I'm not real sure I know what they did. But happy Father's Day to my dad. I'm hoping everybody got a great family day. And speaking of that, there really isn't a whole lot of new news out on the Colorado GOP, the fiasco that's going on with Steve House and all that. There are a lot of threats and innuendos being made out there. You can read them all on Facebook. I'm not going to go into them, but there really isn't any new news. There isn't any real substance out there at this point. I have a feeling that'll change, but right now there really isn't any. So I'm not going to waste any time. I'm not going to waste any airtime talking about that. There was something good that did happen and that I did want to talk about because I think this is important. And we know what happened in Charleston, South Carolina. And I think, you know, I think that tragedy was horrible. I don't know what to say about it, except that there are no words to describe how I feel about what happened. But I do know this. You know, we had, and I will never, ever say the name of that madman. Evidently, he was inspired by Columbine, and that's part of the problem. I mean, the media jumps up and down and makes celebrities out of these psychopaths, and, you know, they have nothing better to do. They're demented as it is, and that seems to be how they choose to react, and it's sad. It is very, very sad. But I'll tell you what did make me happy. I went on Weasel Zippers this morning, as I do every morning when I'm doing show prep, and they had this article, and it just made me smile. And this was their Sunday smile. Charleston Unity Chain walks across Bridge to Peace, love never fails, and hate will not win. And evidently 10,000 people or more took part in this march, and there was no race involved, because every race you could imagine was involved in this thing. And they just wanted to walk across the bridge and in a unity watch and try to say a prayer in healing for the families and the victims that were killed. And they just wanted to, you know, have a moment of solidarity. And it was a very peaceful thing. It was a good thing. Whites, blacks, Hispanics, Asians, you name it, everybody that could, everything you can imagine, they were involved in this. And that is a good thing. They did it as Americans. They did it and said, you know what? In times of crisis, we're going to come together as people. We're going to come together as Americans. And we're going to do this. And that really made me smile. There wasn't any hatred being thrown about. There wasn't any race baiting being thrown about. There wasn't anything except for, you know what? We're all in pain, and we're going to come together and try to deal with this together as a community as a whole and as Americans, as Christians, as whatever faith. And I think that that's a very powerful, powerful statement that they made, one that you don't see that often, and one that, of course, the media isn't going, they don't want to talk about it. I didn't see it on 9 News. I didn't see it on Fox News. Of course, I made a decision over the weekend that I was pretty much going to shut all of that down, which I did do. I even turned off my phone yesterday just because, you know, enough is enough. I mean, with all the things that are going on with the Colorado GOP and everything else, you know, you do have to take a day of rest. You do have to take some time and just try to regroup. And I have a Harley Davidson, and that was very helpful in that effort to do that very thing. But when I woke up this morning and I saw what happened yesterday in Charleston, it made me feel like, yes, there is some hope out there. Yes, people can come together in the midst of tragedies like these and say, you know what, as a community, we can solve all these problems. As Americans, we can solve all these problems. We can. And I think this was a huge step in the right direction, and I applaud what happened. I think it was terrific. I really, really do. And so that's the feel-good story of the weekend. That's the feel-good story of the week. And I, you know, normally I would do that on a Friday, but this happened yesterday, so I wanted to talk about it today. So today I've got a full show lined up for you. I've got some great guests. And at 1:30, I have got Romina Bosia on. She's going to be returning. We're going to be talking about spending limits. We're going to be talking about whether or not our debt ceiling, because if you remember last week, I went on quite a rant talking about the idea that the federal debt ceiling has been suspended. It's $25 million below the debt ceiling, and it's been there for 90 days. Anyone, any rational human being think that the government isn't incurring debt on a daily basis? No, we all know good and well that the federal government, every single minute, every second of every day, is incurring more debt. So the question becomes, what is going on with the debt ceiling? Why aren't they calculating it anymore? It's been frozen for the last 90 days. And I dare say the government has not changed its habits. They have not done anything differently as far as the budget is concerned or their spending. So what's really going on there? So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Tabor. We're going to talk about whether or not our government is out of control. On Friday, I gave a speech. That's the reason I wasn't on the air. I talked to the Colorado Republican Business Coalition, and I was talking about Initiative 20. Initiative 20 is the single-payer scheme that Colorado is trying to introduce, and it's going to have a bare minimum, if we are lucky, a $25 billion a year price tag on it. Obama has even come out and said, you know, we'd be better off with a federal single-payer system than Obamacare. Well, okay, I've made this comment since 2010. I've been saying this, that Obamacare was designed to fail. It was designed to fail so that the government could crash the system, and then the government would show up with their government-run solution, which would be single-payer healthcare nationwide and full-on socialism in the United States. That is the intent. That is what they're trying to do. Okay, so that being said, again, Romina Bosia, if I'm saying your name right, Romina, I'll find out. She's going to be joining me at 1:30. We're going to be talking about that. Then at 2 o'clock, Robert Dubek is going to be on with me, and we're going to be talking about what it takes to get a war memorial built in Washington, D.C. You know that here at KLZ, we are big fans of our military. We honor our military, our veterans, and our fallen. And so we're going to talk about that because it is not as easy as you might think. It might be kind of on par, oh, I don't know, to getting a VA hospital built in the state of Colorado. Who knows? We're going to talk about that in detail with Robert Dubek. But a couple of the things that I do want to talk about, I did mention the Charleston thing, and that just made me feel really good. But the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the Fast Track Trade Authority, that is rearing its ugly head now in the Senate because Paul Ryan and John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, those guys did their Nancy Pelosi-esque maneuvering last week and were able to pound that thing through the House of Representatives, selling the rest of America out. Now it's at the Senate. That vote could be up as early as tomorrow, so we definitely need to talk about that. I want to talk about the New Belgium hangover because I had mentioned earlier that New Belgian Beer supports the Wild Earth Guardians, and some people on the Western Slope in Craig, Colorado, took issue with that and pulled their beer from it. Well, guess what? A lot of other folks are following suit. They pulled New Belgium Beer off their shelves because of their support for Wild Earth Guardians. Well, a lot of other companies are starting to look at Wild Earth Guardians and going, huh, You are destroyers of the economy. You are destroyers of everything that is economic development. Yeah, you destroyed the state of California. Maybe we shouldn't be funding you. Well, I'll talk about that as well. I want to get to this Uber thing because Uber has decided that, well, you know, maybe their drivers and passengers shouldn't be allowed to carry guns. And you're not going to believe it. That comes on the heels of an Uber driver who prevented a massacre because he was carrying a gun. And so now they're banning guns. I think they're going in the opposite direction. Very disappointed, especially because I fought so hard, along with some other legislators in the state of Colorado, to make their very existence legal. I was heavily involved in that fight, and now they just decide, okay, well, yeah, an Uber driver who is a hero prevented a massacre. Can't have that. Let's ban guns. I'll have all that and more on the other side. Don't go away. And I am back. This is Freedom 560. I am your host, Ken Clark. So I was asking Randy, who is sitting in as my engineer today, what story he wanted me to hit first of the ones that I just outlined. So, Randy, what was your call?
I'm always ready to talk about beer.
Beer it is.
You know, people say, oh, well, it's not time for beer yet because it's not 4 or 5 or whatever.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Bingo.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. And when is it not a good time to talk about beer? We have time.
New Belgium, what's this?
Well, here's what happened. Wild Earth Guardians, they are an eco-terrorist group, okay? And they are the ones that started filing suit against the EPA in order for them to take a stronger stand against that stupid little minnow, the smelt, in California that shut down all the irrigation to all the farmlands. Now, California is in a drought, yes. And it's probably the seventh worst drought that they have on record. However, that's not why they're out of water. That has nothing to do with why they are out of water. They have diverted all the water through the irrigation canals and all the tributaries down towards the San Francisco Bay area because they're trying to protect this 3-inch little smelt. That smelt is not indigenous to the state of California. So now the farmers don't have any water. Okay, so all the farmland is drying up and blowing away. It is literally devastating California.
And smelt doesn't even make good bait.
No.
So what's the point in keeping that?
I mean, they funneled so much fresh water into the San Francisco Bay that they were in danger of changing the salination levels of San Francisco Bay because too much fresh water was going into it, trillions of gallons. Now, I've had guest after guest after guest on Freedom 560 with me talking about this very thing. But the guys behind it were the Wild Earth Guardians. Okay, they were the ones, and it's a group of attorneys, and what they do is they are eco-terrorists, and they sue the EPA, forcing the EPA to do these things to people like Fresno, California, all those folks, and now they have set their sights on Colorado. On their press release, they had a meeting last week, I didn't go, but on their press release, they admitted that their goal was to shut down and kill the coal industry. They admitted it. Okay, so Craig, Colorado, got to looking at that, and Craig is a mining town. It's the Wyocolo coal mine and power plant down there, and they looked at Wild Earth Guardians and realized New Belgium Brewery funds them. They donate a lot of money to them. Okay, so some of the liquor stores in Craig, Colorado, decided, you know what? We're pulling New Belgium beer off of our shelves. Yeah, isn't that just a beautiful thing?
Good for them.
Well, you ain't seen nothing yet.
I don't have a problem with that. New Belgium, they make Fat Tire, right?
They make Fat Tire.
Possibly the worst beer on the planet. I'm not kidding you. It tastes like the morning after a keg party and you're drinking out of the tap.
Oh, God.
It's the most awful tasting. They have a nice pale ale.
Yeah.
I don't know that.
But that takes me back to
that
college.
Fat tire, you know.
So, but there's an update. There is an update. And I want a hat tip to ColoradoPeakPolitics.com. This was updated this morning. You're going to love this. And I'm just going to read a couple lines off of this because, you know, Colorado Peak Politics and I have a long history. Some of it's pretty, some of it's not so pretty. But these guys, when they hit it out of the park, they really hit it out of the park. This is one of those times. So their headline is this: New Belgium Hangover. Randy, you're going to love this. 454 organizations drop support of Wild Earth Guardians after Craig boycott.
Woohoo!
Yeah, way to go, man. This is how you handle things. This is what it's all about. Okay, so it looks like supporting, and this comes from their article, it looks like supporting an eco-terrorist organization is not terribly popular after all. After Craig, Colorado businesses started a boycott of New Belgium Brewery for its support of Wild Earth Guardians, an eco-terrorism group, and I stick to that. I am with you, and I support that terminology. They are an eco-terrorist group. So I am with you on that statement. I stand by it completely. Hell-bent on closing down the Kalawayo mine that employed over 200 Craig residents, Jane Morley took matters into her own hands and contacted the businesses that support Wild Earth Guardians. As Morley told Craig Free Press, "You don't mess with my community. This valley has a special place in my heart." Funny thing happened. As Morley started to contact these companies and organizations to tell them that she would no longer support them, not only did the vast majority of the organizations, over 454 of 605, drop their support and ask to be removed from the Wild Earth Guardians website, it appears as though Wild Earth Guardians lied about who was actually supporting them. Some of these organizations actually had no clue Wild Earth Guardians claimed them as supporters. Yeah, well, you know, since when do eco-terrorists tell the truth about anything anyway? I mean, the idea that they would lie about who their sponsors are, for all I know, well, I do know for a fact they didn't, but I guess based on this, I'm surprised they didn't have Ken Clark and Freedom 560 as one of their supporters as well. But I guess they wouldn't go that far because nobody in their right mind would believe that. You're going to love this. Because I was really concerned because the Denver Botanical Gardens was on this list as well. And that bothered me. And the list, obviously, 605, way too many to list on the radio. So you just don't do that. I did publish it on my Facebook page. So this is great. Take this exchange with the Denver Botanical Gardens as conveyed to the Craig Daily Press. Morley emailed the Denver Botanical Gardens on June 9th stating that she will never visit the business again due to its name being on the list. Denver Botanical Gardens of Marketing and PR Jennifer Riley responded saying, "We have no affiliation with this organization." And their response back was, I would appreciate your letting me know what relationship you had heard about between the Gardens and Wild Earth Guardians. I was not familiar with them prior to your email, but having consulted with our leadership team, we do not collaborate with them."
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, really? Why is that coming as a surprise to anybody that eco-terrorists would lie? They lie about fracking. They lie about global warming. They lie about pretty much everything. And they use terrorist tactics to pretty much kill communities. They do. That's what's happening. The idea that they have decided to target Colorado, I guess they figure that they have destroyed California as much as they possibly can. So they need to now turn their sights on Colorado. Fortunately for us, though, we were able to get out in front of that, and so now we're going to have to pay very, very close and special attention to see what Wild Earth Guardians does next. Will they set up a C4 or a C3 here in Colorado, change their name, operate under a different organizational title? Chances are yes. Chances are yes. But based on that legislation that was passed out of the 2014 legislative session, and I am so, so happy that this got bipartisan support, you have to have a fiscal impact note on every ballot initiative that is now proposed in the state of Colorado. That's huge. Because now the fractards, I mean the anti-fracking groups out there, they will not have the ability to put on a ballot initiative a fracking ban without a fiscal impact statement. That's why I believe that Initiative 20 will take a header sooner rather than later, because if it does make the ballot, it's going to have a fiscal impact statement. And I think $25 billion a year is going to be generous. If you remember Irene Senator Aguilar's bill that she floated in 2013, the fiscal note on that little jewel, $37 billion a year. Keep in mind the Colorado state budget is $26 billion a year. The entire state, our budget is $26 billion a year. So yeah, we're going to set up this new program and we're going to go to the 30. I crack myself up. I don't know why I'm having so much fun today, but I just am. But yeah, it's going to be anywhere from $25 to $37 billion a year. Why not? Why not? Just let's put the entire state of Colorado straight into bankruptcy in one fell swoop. That will be so beneficial to small business. And I always find it amazing. Government gets involved in an industry like healthcare. They mandate everything. I've said this 100 times on Freedom 560. I'm a single male. I don't have any kids. I'm a single male. I have to carry maternity insurance. Yeah, figure that one out. I also have to carry acupuncture insurance. That's mandated by the state of Colorado. How stupid is that?
Well, you have to have acupuncture to make you feel better when you get pregnant.
I guess.
You know?
Yeah, doubling down on stupid. I mean, this is weapons-grade stupidity that's going on right now.
What's that thing about the voices in your head telling you to go home and clean your guns?
Well, yeah, that usually... But yeah, that hasn't happened today. But typically when I talk about Islam and the Islamo-terrorists out there and all that, all the voices in my head are telling me to go home and clean my guns today. So far, that hasn't happened. I'll be right back.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Okay, I'm kidding. I didn't really just crack a beer. I really would have enjoyed it, but you know, it's 5 o'clock somewhere, Randy. You're absolutely right. That comes on the heels of talking about the New Belgium hangover. And I'll tell you, New Belgium has been involved in these eco-terrorist groups for quite some time. This is the first time I think they've ever felt any backlash, so I'm pretty happy about the fact that they are. But we're going to have a guest on here in just a second, Romina Bosia. I'm not real sure how to pronounce that last name. Randy's going to get her on the air here in just a second. But do the words spending limit mean anything to representatives at the state or federal level? Right now, we have got an all-out assault on Colorado, here in Colorado, because we have a constitutional amendment that has been passed in Colorado that is the Taxpayer's Bill of Rights. You've heard me talk about it a lot. You've heard Randy and Chris talk about it ad nauseum. We refer to it as Tabor, and it is what allows we the people to vote on any tax increase that will be coming down the pike. That has not stopped the legislature, the assembly, in passing bills in a never-ending attempt to circumvent your ability to have a voice in whether or not your taxes get increased. Now, why would they want to do that? Well, because the big government statist Republicans and the Democrats as a whole, they believe that government should control all of your money. The only money that you have is what they allow you to have out of the goodness of their heart, because after all, they are the dictators. And so I do have Romina Bosia on the air with us right now. And let's see. She is a Grover M. Herman Research Fellow in Federal Budgetary Affairs and Research Manager. God, I can't even talk today. Is it Monday? Yeah, it is. She also works with the Thomas A. Rowe Institute for Economic Policy Studies. Romina, welcome to Freedom 560.
Thank you for having me on today.
It is my pleasure to have you on, and I want to talk about this first and foremost. The national debt, okay, it's been at the exact same level, $25 million under the debt ceiling for going on 90 days now. What on earth is going on with that?
What's going on is that the Treasury is using its extraordinary measures, which are a number of fund accounts that the Treasury can use to continue borrowing once the federal government hits the debt limit. So even though the debt limit hasn't budged, the Treasury has been borrowing from these other accounts, and they have a little over $300 billion available to them. So when they run out of this money at about the end of this year, we're looking at November, December, that's when the debt limit will go up to reflect all that borrowing. So we'll go from $18.1 trillion to $18.4 trillion overnight.
So basically what they're doing is they've just decided, you know what, we don't want to tell mom and dad, meaning we the people, that we've maxed out our credit card. So we're just going to get into cahoots with the credit card company, and we're just not going to report it anymore. In essence, that is what they're doing, right?
Yes, but you know, Congress is also complicit in this, because the reason that the Treasury has these extraordinary measures is that the Congress has over the years tried to find ways of avoiding having to deal with the debt limit, having to deal with the fact that once again they've run up against their credit card limit and it's time to cut spending. So Congress has actually authorized the Treasury to use these outside funds, and we can talk a little bit about what those are. The biggest one are the savings in federal employee private retirement accounts. The Treasury gets to use that money and borrow from it and then has to pay it back with interest when the debt limit gets raised. So all these measures end up costing taxpayers more money down the road.
So let me, you just said that they're borrowing from the federal employees' retirement accounts?
That's right. There's a 401k that federal employees have called the Thrift Savings Plan. And the Treasury is allowed to borrow from all of the money that federal employees have invested in Treasury securities at the debt limit. So the Treasury is using that money to continue deficit spending while the Congress is pretending that nothing is happening. And I don't expect to hear much about the debt limit from the Congress until Treasury runs out of this fund money, and that will be November, December.
Okay, now didn't they do something, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't they do something with Social Security? I mean, Social Security at one time was flushed with money. Didn't they raid the Social Security accounts?
So the Social Security money was always set up in such a way that Congress was able to spend it as soon as it came in. So yes, we did have a surplus for about 30 years where people were paying more in taxes than was necessary to pay out benefits at that time. But because we don't have a private retirement account system, such as countries like Australia, New Zealand, or Chile do, where those taxes actually get saved for those workers so that the money is available for their retirement, Congress spent all that money when we had surpluses. But the Social Security system has actually run cash flow deficits since 2010 and will continue to do so until the trust fund is completely empty. Now, there is no money in the trust fund today because Congress spent it all as soon as it came in the door. So that money is not available to the Treasury anymore because it's all spent.
You know, Romina, if it were you and me doing this, and let's say you and I were in business together and we were selling widgets, whatever, and we tried to do something like this, they would jail us.
Yes, we would not be able to get away with this. No private sector company can get away with it. The federal government can, in part because it's told people a lie. Many people still expect that their Social Security benefits are backed up in some form. But we know at least since President Bush actually went to that file cabinet in Richmond, Virginia, and showed the world that there was nothing in it but paper, IOUs. And it's not even paper money. It's debt that the federal government has borrowed. So we have a day of reckoning coming. It just hasn't happened yet. And that's, you know, they're going to keep this game going for as long as they can because Congress is addicted to spending and spending money that they don't have.
You know, it reminds me of the movie the name of the movie is Dumb and Dumber. And they had that briefcase. Well, they had that briefcase full of money that they just somehow found. And so they start renting Lamborghinis and spending all this money. At the end of the day, the briefcase was full of nothing but IOUs. And the two actors, I can't remember their names, that were playing in Dumb and Dumber, looked at the guy and said, "Oh, that's as good as gold. You can bank on that." And it was a joke. Well, you're explaining to me now the very same scenario, Romina.
I'm sorry, it's exactly like that. So I actually used that reference in a piece I did around Christmas a few years ago. I said, if you've got some time, watch this movie, and you'll know what's going on with the Social Security system. To some degree, the problem is that citizens, voters, aren't holding their members of Congress accountable. It's too easy to believe things that aren't true as long as they sound nice. And so too many people still think that they paid for all of their Social Security and Medicare benefits, but actually what's going on is that the government has promised benefits that aren't paid for. It's similar to state governments and local governments promising public pensions to teachers and state and local employees, but then not actually making the investments necessary to make sure that those pensions are fully funded. So you're seeing that crisis play out in the states today, and we'll have a similar scenario on the federal level just a few years down the road.
Well, and I find it remarkable because there is a very, very distinct difference between a defined benefit pension plan and a defined contribution plan, for instance, a 401k. A 401k and a defined contribution plan is money that is yours. You have earned it, and you put it into an account. Okay, now your employer may or may not match it, but at the same time, it is your money that is taken out of your paycheck and supposedly put in your personal account. Now, a defined benefit program is very different. That is just a promise of a pension plan after you retire, and typically that is funded by your existing employees after you retire. But very rarely is a defined benefit pension plan fully funded. They just aren't, because you've got all these other people that are just starting on the job. They fund it for the people that are retiring later. So the idea that they're raiding the federal government's 401k plans means, in my mind, and Romina, you're welcome to contradict this if you choose, in my mind, it means they're simply stealing money from other people. It's not quite the same as a Ponzi scheme like Social Security. This is actual funds that are in retirement accounts that they're stealing from.
That's right. The Treasury has to pay back all that money with interest once the debt limit is raised. In the end, it ends up buying the government time, and it costs additional money because now we have to pay back with interest all the money that the Treasury is borrowing right now. So this isn't new. Every time we hit the debt limit and Congress doesn't act, the Treasury goes, and the first thing that they do is borrow the money from federal employee 401ks to continue deficit financing. And that buys time, and it costs money. But what we really ought to do, and this is what Congress has to do, is they have to address the fact that they're overspending. We're going to keep running up against the debt limit as long as Congress continues deficit spending. And they already passed a bill this year that is that increased the 10-year deficit by $150 billion. So Congress isn't just continuing to deficit spend on things that they've already promised, but they're adding new liabilities. This is the real issue. Is we're not even talking about cutting current obligations that are exceeding our ability to pay, but Congress is adding more deficit spending.
Yeah, and you know, this thing has gotten completely out of hand, because, and I want to ask you this question. I know that you've only got a limited amount of time with me today, so I want to know what is it that the American public doesn't know about the federal debt and the unfunded liabilities?
So the $18 trillion measure that we're told is the national debt actually only includes a portion of what the federal government has in true liabilities, because you have all of the unfunded promises in Medicare and Social Security. They alone add up to $50 trillion over the next 75 years, which is how far the government projects out those liabilities. But that does include everything we have to spend on defense or on other things that the federal government does, including paying its workforce. So the true size of the unfunded liability is much larger, and by some economists' estimate, is ranging between $80 trillion and $200 trillion, depending on what you're assuming in terms of mortality rates and interest rates looking out into the future. The other problem is that the federal government backs private loans. If you think about Solyndra, that's one high-profile example. But right now, there's a fight going on in Congress over the Export-Import Bank, where the federal government is backing $140 billion in private loans that help companies like Boeing. Boeing is one of the largest recipients of these loan guarantees. And what this means is that when some of those loans go bust, then taxpayers are on the hook to pay for these. And those things are not reflected in the current national debt. The federal government has about $3 trillion of these private loans that taxpayers are backing. So if you add that, we're already at $21 trillion in potential debt that taxpayers are on the hook for.
Tell my listeners where they can find out more about you and read some of the articles that you've written. This is very, very good stuff.
So I would recommend everyone visit Federal Budget in Pictures, which is at heritage.org/federalbudget. We have 21 easy-to-access charts that show your listeners where we're spending money, how much we're spending, what the debt is projected to do in the future, and who's going to pay for it. We also have charts on taxes, and every one of the charts comes with additional resources, two links to our best papers on these topics if your listeners want to read a little bit more about it. Otherwise, at heritage.org and on our Daily Signal blog, we have fresh content every day. And then Heritage Action is also around for those people who'd like to get more politically active. They can connect them with people in their state, in this case, Colorado, and, you know, turn on the heat on lawmakers so they do the right thing.
Romina Baccia, thank you for joining me on Freedom 560 today. I very much appreciate it. I am going to have you back.
Thank you so much.
All right. When we come back, we're going to have a lot more because this is a subject that just doesn't seem to go away. Yet nobody in D.C. ever wants to do anything about it. And the situation just keeps getting worse.
Tonight there's going to be a jailbreak.
You know this never ever ending battle for liberty and freedom in the United States of America goes back thousands of years. Thousands of years. I mean, it is truly big biblical. You can go back to Genesis and you can see where the fight for freedom and liberty started even back then. And, you know, it's just not going to change because there will always be tyrants. There will always be patriots. And we right now are on the side of the patriots. Make no mistake about it. Make no mistake that this battle will never end. And I, for one, no matter what happens, no matter what happens, no matter where I am or what I'm doing, I'm going to be involved in this fight. Well, I'm not alone. I am not at all alone, and I would like to invite Lana Foer on the air with me right now to talk about what she's doing. Lana, welcome back to Freedom 560.
Thank you, Ken. Thank you for having me on the radio.
Well, what do you got going, Lana? What have you got coming up?
Tomorrow night is a major deal. I'm inviting all women to please come join us, and men. We welcome the men to come, but women are the ones who are going to make a difference in the country, and we already are with our voting. We're doing it by ballot, and women are outnumbering men in the ballot box with huge numbers, by the millions nationwide. And so we have launched a new group called Ladies for Liberty, and we are going to be launching it tomorrow night at Nona's Italian Restaurant. It'll be right there on East Arapahoe Road, and we would love for you to come at 6:30. All women are welcome to come, men welcome, and Michelle Malkin is our keynote speaker.
Wow, that's going to be huge. She is a frequent guest on Freedom 560, as well as Randy and Chris's show as well. And she is a very, very powerful voice. That's a huge get, Lana. That's impressive.
Well, you know, Michelle is the type of woman that she does not hold back. She does not pull any punches. And you know what? She is a fighter. Fighter for liberty. She's going to call it like she sees it. And that's what we need. We need voices like Michelle to be running around all over our country to save our republic.
You know, we do. And so what kind of things, what do you hope to accomplish? What is Ladies for Liberty's, Ladies for Liberty? Well, it is Monday, Lana, okay? So just forgive me for that. But what is that group going to be all about? What is it you guys are going to focus on?
I am the past president of Colorado Springs Republican Women. I've been the Tough Talk editor for Colorado Federation of Republican Women. As you know, I am the former secretary for the state GOP. I have been involved in Republican groups for a long time, and I have been, I have been frustrated, as well as other Republican women, that when we go to these groups, we go to the meetings, you know, it's nice to be informed. It's a great coalition to be involved with, but we also don't get things done. I just noticed that we need to have action stuff done. And women that are out there, we're working, we're cleaning, we're taking care of kids, we're taking care of elderly parents. We all have things to do, and we are so busy. We are going to come together and express what we need to do, and then go out into the field and educate unaffiliates and independent women to our fiscal responsibility, limited government, free market, you know, abiding by our Constitution. This is the step that we really need to push, and this is what we're going to accomplish with Ladies for Liberty.
You know, you and I go back fighting battles shoulder to shoulder together, I think back to what, 2009?
And, yes, sir.
Yeah, and, you know, I have just always been amazed at your undying energy, your undying commitment to principle and the Constitution. And so I know, based on the things that I've seen you do in the past, this is going to be a terrific success. So we don't have a whole heck of a lot of time. Tell my listeners what, when, where, why, and how one more time.
Nona's Italian Restaurant, tomorrow night, 6:30 on Arapahoe Road. I wish I had the address, but they can find us on Facebook at Liberty Ladies 4, the number 4, Liberty. And it's right now set as a private group. Don't ask me why. I didn't know how it worked. But I will add you on there. I just want women to be informed. So please come tomorrow night, Nona's Italian Restaurant, 6:30 p.m.
Well, I can give you the address. I'm looking right at it. It is 11877. That's 11877 East Arapahoe Road in Centennial, Colorado. And that it's right on your Facebook page. You've got an event page. And so, yeah, and the Facebook page is Ladies for Liberty Launch Party. That's all you have to do. Do a search. You'll find it. It's right there. And again, the address is 11877 East Arapahoe Road, Centennial, Colorado. Lana, this sounds to be like this is going to be a terrific event.
It will. Thank you so much for the time, Ken. I just really want to get this out there and encourage all women and men, because, you know, the men love their wives and their moms and their sisters, and men need to come, too. So please come and listen to Michelle. Oh, and George Anthonopoulos will also be a guest speaker, and Representative Lori Sane.
Wow, that's a very good lineup. I'm excited about that event. I'm going to do everything I can to make it there. Lana, thanks so much for what you're doing. When we come back, Freedom 560, we're going to talk about what it takes to get a monument done in Washington, D.C. This ought to be entertaining.